Why is Dennis Johnson acting like the anti-America too? You don't watch American news because one person reads the news, two people give their opinion. Is that how Brass Tacks is modeled? He read the newspaper and give his opinion on the show. Do you watch CBC News? No, I don't. I do not know why you people are so worried about me and America. I do not believe that America is the centrifugal force in my world. If you live there and that's yours, that's your business. Don't take it up with me. I sit and read. Maybe I pick the bias easy on reading. Look, the Bajan Americans, those who live, wherever you live and you enjoy it, enjoy it. Try not to pick on me. I'm not the right person to pick on because I'm not affected by that. Someone tell me I'm guilty of double standards because I criticize America, I criticize the call about America, and then I ask Granville Phillips about houses in America. The reason why I asked Mr. Phillips that, who's an engineer, is because he's talked about building to Category 5 hurricane standards before. And the argument has been placed on the table on this program before that we don't usually get Category 5 hurricanes, so why should we bother to build? And the model that some U.S. cities use, that you can lick it down and build it back, is perhaps cheaper. So I put it for his comparison, not that we should do it, which is where I could see myself being accused of a double standard. If I say they do it in America, why don't we do it here? That's not the comparison I was making. Let me make it plain again. I read all kinds of things, the backs of match boxes. What I have a problem with is when people hold up CNN or the other cable media, wherever they are in the world, BBC, whomever, as being the standard, and that all of us, the rest of us, are beneath. There's a difference between fact and opinion posing as fact. I'm a talk show host. What I give is my opinion. I don't pose it as fact. What a newscaster is supposed to do is to give fact. Carl Moore sent a message saying that he disagreed with David, and he's disagreed with him before, about balance, that news people should bear witness. That was what he wrote. Carl is an old school news person who believes you give the fact. What happens in a lot of cases today is that there's so much discussion and opinion that at the end of it, you forget what the fact was. And those of you who reside in Uncle Sam's bosom, please enjoy it, you know, while we sit here in stupidity and isolation because we're not exposed to the great big city. Give me a break. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Y'all keep forgetting that arrogant too.
Hello?
Good afternoon, ma'am.
I'm on air?
You are.
Okay, there's a water bill that I have here. I would like to get it out of tax.
Mm-hmm.
I clear my bills there in November for December last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the January now, it's coming for $15 balance.
Plus 15?
Pardon me?
Plus $15. You owe them 15?
$15 current amount due, $15.
Mm-hmm.
And 97 cents.
Okay.
I went and I cleared that there in January.
Mm-hmm.
But the numbers here for the thing is water. It's water, 15. 27.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 15, 25. Sanitation, 76, 25. Adjustment, 000. And previous payment is 146, 23.
Mm-hmm.
Balance, total balance forward is $70. And current water charge is 39, 47.
Mm-hmm.
Current storage constitutes 775. SS is 3875. Service total charge is 00 and total is 1597. And that is what it's selling for that there. So I went and cleared
something,
there in
January. Something sounds wrong with that.
In this month now, a bill coming there for to the top is water, $30. 7 for sanitation and whatever. But I pay for storage. That's what something that I would like, correct. I pay for storage that isn't collect nowhere but my place. It didn't connect onto my behind, and I pay for that. And I would like it, I would like something happen about that. They're paying for that all the time, and nothing doing. Nothing is not connecting nowhere about here. They can't come into my yard because it get locked. Nowhere about here, they got fresh. You might come and check and thing and tell me, I right, it gone to my well. I have a shop well, and I don't know what they're making me pay for storage for this money. And then another time now, it for more money. Another time, the sanitation money is more. Whatever. Then everything out of here for $3,303.91. What that for when they send there and generate for $15 to me that balance. And think how I could owe all that money.
Ma'am, when you read the figures that you read and
pardon
said
me?
50, when you read the figures that you did to me a while ago.
Yes.
And said that the balance was $15.
Yes.
I don't believe, ma'am, if you look at those figures that you read to me, the balance could not have been $15. It could not have been. It could not have been $15. It may have been $1,500, but it could not have been
$1,500.
Ma'am, well, the figures you give me could not have come back to $15.
Huh?
The figures you read could not have come back to $15.
It have, look, 15, it got dollars, 1.5 and a dot between, and then 97.
Same.
That is what I got there. The bank, I they went and cleared the bill and cleared my bill in November for.
You went December. To them.
I
you went,
went
to the water authority.
Pardon me.
You went to the water authority.
No, I did call in, and she tell me that I must have a leak or somebody losing my water. I say nobody losing my water. No, I don't have any leak. Somebody, they say somebody in the check.
Ma'am, I would suggest you take the bills that you just read to me. And you go into the water authority if they're open to accessing you at this point, and you go through the bills with somebody who will tell you line by line what it is, what you paid, what you owed, because what you read to me a short while ago could not have come back to $15.97. Could not. Those figures do not add up in any way to $15.97. You may be reading something other than the figure. You may be reading the cubic meters used or something else. But the figures you gave me, if you said to me, right, that the water used was $15, and then you have sewage and...
Well, yeah,
what was the sewage figure you gave me?
Uh-huh.
What was the sewage figure you gave me just now?
What?
The figure for sewage that you gave me just now when you told me, what was the figure on that bill, the November bill?
Mm-hmm.
What was that figure?
You mean the one that I gave you?
Yes.
You mean for the which bill?
The November bill.
That is not the November. The November and December, I cleared that there. I cleared the toll. Then they cleared November and December.
Mm-hmm.
So only it is January that they said in and
okay.
Tell me the balance.
Tell me.
Balance is $15.
Okay, tell me what's the balance. What is the sewage figure on that $15 balance?
The
SSA is 76.25. If the SSA is 76.25, right? The sewage is 15 and the water is 15, that's 30. 30 and 76 is over $100. So your balance could not be $15.
No, but I got here for a previous payment that I paid is $146.23.
And that was paid to what?
In December.
And that was paid, what was the total liability? What was the total? Ma'am, listen.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Hold on.
What I'm looking at though, what I'm looking at is that I pay for storage all the time. And
ma'am, I heard that. What I'm trying to tell you is, right, that if you even have trouble listening to me talking slowly,
go ahead.
What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're having challenges with me talking slowly to try to talk you through the bill, it is better for you to have someone sit with you and walk through the bill step by step to show you what you had paid, what was due, what may have been this, what may have been that, how much the $146 wiped out, how much it didn't. And once you get that sorted out, then you can have discussions about why you're paying for sewage and why you're paying for garbage when you don't have a sewage line.
I could afford to pay for garbage. I could afford to pay for garbage, yes, because of the working. But the sewage thing there, so put in there, so, and it's not attached to my well. Nothing about it here is not attached. It there put there, and it's not attached to nothing about here. You hear me?
Ma'am, I'm hearing you, but I'm about to tell you that you do not pay for it, whether it's attached or not. The garbage and sewage contribution was paid, placed on...
Yes, I pay for that, yes.
Ma'am, you're not listening to me. Okay, you're saying paid, and I'm saying placed.
Yes.
The garbage and sewage contribution was placed on your water bill for the government to have money to give to the Sanitation Service Authority
to pay for the collection
of garbage and to pay for the sewage system, whether you're connected to it or not.
Oh, whether you're connected or not.
Correct.
You pay for it.
Correct.
That hurts, man. That's not fair. That's not fair, Mr. Humphrey. That's not fair. That then attached to me and my face and me, you know, and got paying money, taking away, and more money putting on our return. That's not fair. That's not fair to me. And
okay,
now about the rest and things like that, somebody complain about that there. Would you put it there for it? Didn't make no sense putting down that. The gas is okay, water, but put on that there, just collect people from nowhere, bring them here, and doing things, putting down things about the place because I have less money. Take the money and give people that they need. Not just taking the money and wasting it, putting down this and doing this and doing that ain't called for. Anyhow, thanks, I'm going to go and do. You tell me I'm going to get these water bills.
Good. Thank you. And that, ma'am, will kind of keep the anxiety down as well. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello. 434-1790, Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you this morning?
I am fine, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Well, first, I would like to say, as I told you yesterday, glad to have you back and hear your voice.
It's good to be back.
I wish you all the best. And to make yourself safe and keep safe in this pandemic.
Trying my best.
What I would like to speak about this morning, I want to look at the industrial relation climate based on what I would have seen surface a few days ago, where employees would have sit down, keep a meeting, unilaterally decide that they will cut workers pay and so on without proper consultation or anything like that. Now, I am one of the people, and I would say this, I was a fearless shop steward, and I would like to see that when people are doing these things, these employers are doing these things, that they recognize that the workers has their right. And they were laid down and fought for years ago. And at the same time, and by the same token, if they are going to sit down and do these things, they must have consultation because circumstances would alter cases. I could understand. In this present situation that we are in, we have to sit down, whether you're up, down, or across, and recognize that we are all going through these problems together. And when we looking at the workers, they got to realize as well that the workers has their bills, they have their things to meet, and so on. And when you're going to do something like this, it needs to be consultation. And I will advise, and I will call on the trade unions in this country, do not sit back and allow these things to happen or pass and put the bat inside and let the ball pass. Because if it passed for one, it will happen for all. And I believe that industrial relations is something that calls for protocol and deliberation.
You know, sir, I have to tell you that sometimes I get the impression that the weight, I'm using the term weight, the weight of the trade union movement, or the trade union movement doesn't carry as much weight today as it does because sometimes of the small numbers that they represent in organizations. I saw, for example, I think it was Dwayne Paul of the BWU on the back page of one of our daily newspapers. There it is. My memory is still working good. On Monday's paper, Salaries Alarm, the BWU says some employers are unilaterally slashing pay. And one of the first things Mr. Paul, I think, pointed out was that some of the workers whose pay packages are being cut are not union members. And to me, over the years, there's been a dwindling of the number of persons who engage in collective bargaining. There are a number of organizations that hire people on contracts that get them to agree not to be members of the union, frankly. And therefore, the kind of power that the union could exert over the years has slowly been chipped away till now, perhaps. Some employers feel you could buck the trend and hope that it takes 6 years to get to the tribunal or 5 years, and by then, you know, the person reach retirement and they quote-unquote get away with it.
You see, Mr. Johnson, that is precisely what I am dealing with. Because
I realize that.
This
I realize
particular
that.
Pandemic, I ain't talking about coronavirus, I'm talking about employers' exploitation of workers started before I retired. But at the same time, and by the same token, mm-hmm. we had a group of people who stood up for the rights of the workers of this country. And I will say to Barbadians, because it hurts me, I will say to Barbadians, do not allow no person to intimidate you and tell you that if you join the trade union, you can't work for them or they won't employ you. Or if they employ you and you decide that you want to join a trade union and they're here and they try to victimize you, let it be known. And I am sure that the trade union will come out and support you.
Sir, I have to tell you again. I have to tell you again that the feeling of a lot of people is that the trade union move. I'll tell you what a young, well-educated young lady said to me. You see this thing about putting on red shirt and marching a placard singing, "We shall overcome"? Never. I ain't doing that at all. So that's a waste of time. And I said, but that's not what the trade union is. But that's what they want you to do, march up and down and sing, "We shall overcome," for I ain't in that. So that person, no, I'm serious. This is a young, attractive, intelligent lady. Okay, not you, Michelle. Don't look at me. No, but I'm serious. And here's the thing. The person had called me to complain about issues with her employer. And I said, do you all have a bargaining unit? Are you a member of the union? And they said to me, union what? I ain't in no marching up and down in no red shirt singing "We shall overcome." I said, but you have an issue. You're saying that you're being victimized, you're being, you know, your lunch hour is being cut short, you can't do this and you can't do that, and you slave labor, and all the things you're complaining about are things that the trade union movement have been working on for eons. So it means that if your employer is doing that, it's because they have the power to do that. If people could be hired and fired on a whim because you have no representation, but calling brass tacks or calling me and leaving a message on my phone, I can't fix it.
But this is what you need to understand. And this is why I'm saying that I will ask the trade unions in Barbados to come out and start to educate the average young people and think of the struggles that our forefathers would have went through, what they would have went through to establish this trade union, and the importance it is to them today, because had not for the fight of our forefathers to get the trade union, they will not be able today to come and turn on a light to get electricity. They will be still probably lighting lamps or smart lamps or things like this. We would have, for the founding fathers of the trade union would have fought for our development. And when we are developing and the history is deteriorating and becoming obsolete, we will start to have problems. And I think that the trade unions, quote unquote, come together and decide to have some kind of training and lectures.
Will
even
they,
if they got to go back to the days of what the founding fathers did and keep meetings to educate the working class people in
so
this
I got another one to flatten you with because
Massive day done yet.
So I want to tell you another conversation with another person. When I asked them about the Barbados Workers Union Labor College, their response was, "Shoot, I forget they have that. What is do there?" So I am telling you, listen, you're laughing, right? Because I am telling you these things because I'm trying to point out to you, right, that those of you, people like yourself, I know there are others, I suppose the General Secretary of the Barbados Workers Union, the various other union leaders, Ms. Redmond and you know, Mr. Jones, who was a BUT president, and various other people like that, would have known the trade union movement in its heyday. I remember LaVia Richards strolling into various hotels that I worked at with reams of paper under the arm and looking at me and asking me, "Who are you and how you get here? What you do here?" You know, and you know, I laughed because the trade union leaders at the time, Mr. Richards in particular, knew almost every single member of both management and labor at the hotels that I worked at because he's been there that often. Today, I am sure there are union leaders who would walk into business places and people would don't know who they are and ask them, "What you come here for?" So that's how we've moved from the era that you're talking about to the era that we are now. Well, it is good that that ad actually played because during the break, I was reading a WhatsApp message from someone who said they've been listening to the or trying to reach the NIS office for the entire day. And I just sent them a message saying I had heard an ad we were running saying that there were problems with the telephone line. So that was almost manner from, it supports my call. 434-1790-266-4862 and brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Yes, good afternoon.
A very good afternoon to you. Thanks
for
taking my call.
It's good to hear you, sir.
Thanks. I'm glad to have had the breaking news because it was cracking up at the image that you planted in being in the bosom of Uncle Sam since I was in the bosom of
you were in the bosom of Uncle Sam and how was it?
The last 40 years.
40?
Yes.
And then Uncle Sam threw you out or you left on your own will?
No, actually, March 16th, when Auntie Mia indicated that...
she wanted you to come home?
Well, she said that you can come and, you know, be tested if that was possible,
right,
if you needed that.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, in the bosom of Auntie Mia, it was...
a lot more comfortable for you? I was about to make another comment, but Michelle will push her finger down. I was going to talk about sore appendages, but yeah, tell me.
What my call really is about is the Thomas website that you made a reference to earlier. I've been hearing it for the longest time, the problems that people are
facing,
experiencing. And being in the IT world, I know that, and since you said that you were able to get in, and some people getting and get out no problem, I think one of the things that people are overlooking is that the URL, to the right of the URL of the Thomas does not do distancing well. Social distancing, meaning if it's, since it's a financial
site
you're logging on to, they need to send you a cookie, and you need to be able, your computer need to accept their cookie so that they know that you are who you say you are, and since there's bank information involved and all that.
Correct.
So having said all that, there are a couple of browsers. There's Chrome, Mozilla, and Microsoft. Mozilla Firefox,
right,
that one should look there and check to see if there's that
block,
red X that is blocking them from logging on. Because, again, that is more than likely that's the problem with some people. You know, they set their firewall a little tight, and they'll kind of log themselves out of the Internet, especially on financial sites.
Okay.
So, you know, it's one of the, I'm kind of disappointed that no one from Thomas comes and talks about that. But, you know, being experienced in the time that I was in IT, that is more than likely the problem that many people are experiencing.
Now, let me say something that get me into trouble again with some people, but I can say it nevertheless.
Okay.
I find that sometimes, depending on who's sitting in this chair or who asks the question, people don't come on there and explain a lot, okay? One. Two, I get the impression sometimes that even those who are supposed to be corporate communication specialists, and I know there are some companies that monitor the program and quickly respond to queries. They would get messages via WhatsApp saying, take that person's number, put us in touch with them, we want to handle that for them. There are others that tend to shy away from doing that. And there are occasions when we've actually had representatives from the BRA in here with various moderators to answer questions. What happens, however, is that when those people are here, very seldom do the people who have the problems that they talk about either call in to do it, or sometimes so many messages come in that the only person who sees the tablet with the messages is the moderator. The producer does not.
Right.
So if the moderator is focused on talking to the person from the BRA, asking questions, that sometimes they give you these frequently asked questions to ask them because that's the answers they have, they can't or don't follow the 50 messages from WhatsApp that are coming one after the other.
Right.
I'll give you an example. From talking to the lady about her water bill, there were four different or five different messages that popped up about water bills, including those due for disconnection and so on. Now, the Water Authority has said on more than one occasion that due for disconnection bills are automatically generated and that they should be ignored, and you should make, you know, necessary make some arrangements to have your bill paid by whatever means. The same thing with the NIS office and the telephone lines. But people don't hear them because it doesn't affect them at the time. But when it does, then they need an answer. Now, that Thomas thing, I sent, when I was trying to sign up for Thomas, let me say, ignorant, I signed in as Dennis Johnson, got lost, tried to sign back in as Dennis Johnson, was told I had to sign in as Dennis Johnson too. So I did that, and then I forgot my password because I got too many passwords to remember. I'm getting old, right? So I said that, and I wasn't in anybody's bosom for too long. But that's why. So I sent them an email. I got an answer saying, "We acknowledge it. Can you give me your national registration number, some other number? I think it was, and so my TIN number, So I gave them the TIN number.
Right.
I got no answer. Weekend came, next week came, and I figured, okay, so COVID, you may be not at work regularly. So I sent another email.
Mm-hmm.
Got no answer. Then I heard another message saying, you know, that they were, all these people who had forgotten their passwords. I think it came from the minister in one of his discussions. So I sent a third email. Then I got a response. Now I got an email, a WhatsApp saying, I sent a message a month ago and got no response. If you sent a message a month ago and got no response, you should have followed up by now.
Sure.
You should have followed up on more than one occasion because, like most honest citizens, you either want to pay your taxes or you want a refund.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I find sometimes that when we run into problems, we're afraid to say, I have a problem because I do a piece of foolishness, hold up my hand. I'm not afraid to say so, as do foolishness. Which is why I could admit that I put Dennis Johnson and threw it away because of some reason, and then I had to go to Dennis Johnson too. So now I have to remember that my name and Dennis Johnson is Dennis Johnson too, whoever that is. But the
Wolf,
thing you Wolf talk about, though.
Wolf are still yours more than lately.
More than likely.
Just let me wrap this up.
Mm-hmm.
If you find that, if one finds that there's that red X,
right,
and you click on it,
mm-hmm,
it would say something like cookies are blocked.
Right.
It would literally tell you that
what's wrong,
block, and then you've got three options,
mm-hmm,
to always allow cookies from that site,
mm-hmm,
or continue blocking,
mm-hmm,
or manage. And this is where you will kind of, you know, let them send you back the information that will allow you to communicate smoothly.
Okay.
Again, that is just the way that financial sites would tend to operate, knowing that it's your money to them and then their money to your bank and all that, and just want to know that you know, everything is kosher, if I can call it that. But just I can also wrap this up by saying, by coming back, the part of the anthem that the chorus, in fact, that says, we write our name on history's page with expectations great.
Mm-hmm.
And my expectations are still great for this country. And I haven't relocated yet. But the truth is, I got here just under the gun, so to speak, of the first death
okay.
in New York and you know,
you're afraid now to return to the bosom?
90 people later, 90,000 deaths later. It's not, you know, something to. So I think I made the right decision in coming over. I'm glad to be here.
Let me ask you this, though.
Sure.
It's something that continues to confuse me. I'm going to ask you as someone who's been in the bosom.
Okay.
Don't make me crack up. No. My sister, my elder sister,
okay,
was a nurse in Washington for years. She's retired now. And she journeys between Washington and Trinidad and Tobago. And she sends me messages all the time about all sorts of things, including dealing with my condition and the state of health in the Caribbean, state of health in Trinidad where she's worked, state of health in Jamaica, where she was trained, and in England, where she was trained. So I get these messages bombarding me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask you the question that I ask her.
Sure.
When we in the Caribbean look up to London, look up to the United States as being the example of how progressive healthcare is, how progressive their terms and conditions of service, opportunities, etc., when we look at how this pandemic has been handled in the United States, and we compare it with our countries in the Caribbean and in other parts of the world,
mm-hmm,
does it not dent the confidence we had, and doesn't it not make us question the pinnacle on which we've put certain countries above all else? And that's the question I've been trying to get across when people are saying, you know, I'm overly critical, I'm anti-America too, and all those other things. The question I'm trying to ask is it that there's so much information being fed to the public in places like the United States, England, various parts of the world, Italy, France, where there have been flare-ups, that people have so many choices and so many bits and pieces of advice that they choose to do what they feel like because they don't trust the media, they don't trust the people, or is there some other reason why it's been manhandled or mishandled or whatever it is happening?
It's quite a coincidence that you would ask that, because one of the reasons that I'm here is that I like what the thoughts of the health ministry, where they're looking to, you know, open the polyclinics and that kind of stuff. And that ought to be welcomed by most. I mean, some person having an issue in St. John at 2 o'clock in the morning ought to be able to go to the St. John polyclinic and get service rather than come down to the hospital. Here, mm-hmm, to get, you know, to be for fever, because that can be handled and ought to be handled at in St. John, mm-hmm, for a couple of reasons, and also the, you know, the transport board, the transport system is you've got to get a cab, and I've had the experience where I'm in St. Michael, and after midnight, there's no cab that want to come to your house and that kind of stuff, even to bring you over there. So, I'm glad that you asked that, because it's one of the areas that I'm in, preventative health, and so.
Oh, I picked the right person. Boy, my punching working well today.
So yeah, and what I do from here now is triangulate between three of my preventive medicine doctors in telemedicine. And I'm not a doctor by any stretch. I'm not a doctor at all. But I've been doing a lot of medical research. And these three doctors are keeping me, so to speak, on my toes as to what's happening. There's a doctor in an ICU who posts telling you what he is seeing, and there's another one in England, Dr. John. He is analyzing reports that he have seen, and then there's my naturopathic doctor, mm-hmm, in Delaware, who I'm getting bits and pieces from, mm-hmm, kind of guiding me as to how to operate, meaning that there's a major not a trial that on autopsies showing that 99% of the patients, the COVID patients that died, had insufficiency or deficiency in vitamin D. And no one is kind of playing that up. I'm not hearing the doctors talking about, you know, your build up your immune system with vitamin D and especially D3, because we know that works within our blood and does several things within the bloodstream. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're saying that initially the virus comes into in your respiratory system, and you can, if you are late in getting checked there, it could have moved into your bloodstream, so you come up being negative in your respiratory system, but then it has gone to your bloodstream. So this is what I've been reading, and hopefully one day I can expand
on it.
My big fan is the Sunday evening, Dr. Renee Boyce. she is so good in kind of explaining or, you know, what's happening. Mm-hmm. So she has been my guiding star here, so to speak.
Well, I hope you get an opportunity to talk to us again. It certainly has been refreshing hearing you. I really, really enjoyed this, and please do so again.